This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The best local sports talk in the Flower City. One Bills Live and the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Weekday afternoons on the Sports Leader, ESPN Rochester.
All right, let's welcome in one of our regulars from our radio.com sports sister station, WGR in Buffalo. It's time to check in with Nate Geary. Can you hear Nate during the football season and pre- and post-game coverage of the Buffalo Bills Radio Network? Nate, good with this time to join us here on the Sports Bar. How are you, bud?
I am doing well. I am, a little bummed about football officially being over, except the XFL says no, football's not over, but I think we can all agree football is over.
Yeah, it's the draft. I want to hear. I want free agency. We'll get to those topics up. What we saw last night, Nate, when you see the Kansas City Chiefs seemingly flip the switch in the fourth quarter, and I just wonder from our perspective here in Western New York, how far away are the Buffalo Bills to being in this game and actually being able to win it?
Closer than they were, I would say, and maybe the closest they've been in, probably 15, 17, 18 years. You can take some comfort in that. I think, in terms of where they stand right now in the AFC, I think, the next 3 months are really going to determine that. This is the very first day of the off season, right? So, the meat on this bone is quite thick at this point, the 2020 season. And as it stands with the players they have on the roster, I think ESPN came out with their, way too early power rankings and have the Bills ranked 11th, I think it was. So clearly some national respect of what they did this past season and maybe a sign of what they think is to come. I feel pretty good about where they are. But at the same time, you also realize there are many areas where if they're going to take a step, they need to be better.
Yeah, I just watch Kansas City and marvel because I see a team that looks like at times they can just score at will and points that are so hard to come by for a Buffalo Bills offense led by Josh Allen. I mean, you're going to have to see astronomical gains made in his play, but also in the level of talent on that side of the ball for Buffalo to have even a shot at competing with a team like Kansas City, who looked very much like the team that was owning the AFC East through their dynasty in New England. I mean, it looks like with the way they've dominated the West, that Kansas City could be well on their way to a similar type of run here.
Yeah, well, I mean, here's the thing, too, and this is overly, overly simple, right? But at the same time, listen, if Josh Allen can, and I shouldn't say half, because, I mean, he had 40-plus attempts of those deep shots that last year that he just couldn't connect on, right? And, he connects on 9 more of those deep shots. And let's be clear, I mean, we're talking about shots that were wide open, manufactured plays by Brian Daboll for whoever it may be on the plate, Robert Foster. A lot of times it was John Brown. And a few times there was a Dawson Knox play there sprinkled in that he would have missed during the game, right? Or overthrown. Listen, he hits a couple more, ten more of those next year. That's not out of the question. The deep ball can be streaky, and you're talking about what streakier kind of player and deep ball thrower than Josh Allen. Listen, I think if Josh Allen can start this season with a little momentum on the deep ball, let's say, in the first game he can hit one or two, who knows how that could snowball effect for the rest of the season. So Josh Allen, for me, next year is obviously the big portion of this, but can the team get immediately better around him, and can he hit just a couple of those deep shots that I thought Brian Daboll did such a great job manufacturing, and this just wasn't Josh Allen executing them.
Nate Geary, Buffalo Bills pre- and post-game show host. You hear him also on WGR, which you can catch on the radio.com app, our guest here in the Sports Bar. Nate, last time we talked to you, it was only a couple days after the season had ended, and we really didn't do any deep dive into some of these offseason issues, but since you talk about the offense, everybody's focused on getting that number one. Multiple choice question. Where do you think that best place is to find that number one? Is it a trade? Is it perhaps spending the money on Amari Cooper or somebody else like that? Is it perhaps the draft? I mean, you're sitting at 22, or do you stand pat and hope for the best? Nate, what are your thoughts on the wide receiving core and what the Buffalo Bills should do here?
Yes, all of it. Leave no stone unturned. I would argue there could be a scenario where, an AJ Green does become available and he doesn't end up re-signing in Cincinnati, and for some reason Cincinnati has to go to free agency, which at least initial reports indicate that won't happen. But let's just say that it does, right? And they go after an AJ Green, say, okay, well, we solved our wide receiver one issue, right? Go ahead and draft another one in the first round. Go ahead and draft one in the second round, right? You can draft one of these top 55, top 60 guys. Go ahead and do both of those things. Address the immediate need now. You need a wide receiver one now, and then address the future and a guy that could potentially come in and be your number four receiver. I mean, you got to remember, too, last year we saw a lot of three receiver sets that had Isaiah McKenzie. If you could get another player that's a little younger, a KJ Hamler from Penn State, who I really, really like, who could fill a very similar role and be a little more dynamic, in my opinion, and provide a little bit more wide receiver play, a more traditional wide receiver play than Isaiah McKenzie was. So, yeah, there's a lot of things they could do. Wide receiver, obviously, is the one we all talk about. I think they could get a running back that could provide a little bit more of a passing acumen than maybe Devin Singletary does. A guy that maybe you can bring in there on passing downs and maybe have both him and Devin Singletary on the field at one time. Maybe one guy can be more of a route runner, right? Like one of these hybrid receiver running back types that are seemingly popping up everywhere you look. You could also address the tight end position. There's going to be some value guys in free agency that they could bring in. Everyone talks about Greg Olsen. I think that'd be a great idea for the Bills as a mentor for Dawson Knox. I mean, if we could get half the production from that Greg Olsen had over the course of his career out of a Dawson Knox over the course of his next 5-7 years, they'll have a real good one.
Nate, how do you think Brandon Bean approaches skill position players? Because we all know that running back is undervalued and that nobody wants to overspend on running back. I find it curious that the league doesn't have the same mindset when it comes to wide receivers. When they moved on from Sammy Watkins and traded him for draft picks, they probably also saw in the crystal ball the idea that, hey, we're going to have to at some point pay this guy probably more than he's going to give us back in production. Do you think they approach it that way? And if they do, is it unlikely that we see them go after a big free agent signing or really invest heavily in a skill position player when they might feel like they have other needs that needed to be addressed first within their team?
I think that they are willing to add whatever talent they think they can add, and they're willing to pay for it so long that it, I think, checks all of their boxes in one way or another. So I think some of those boxes happen to do with age, injury history. I think those are two big ones, right? Like if you could find a guy, coming into his second contract, hitting free agency that you really, really like, I think that maybe you would be willing to pay top dollar for a guy that's 24 years old, who's had, top 10 at the position production over a 2 or 3 year period and has had a, relative good injury history, doesn't have any ACL problems and doesn't miss a lot of games and is a player that off the field, checks all the boxes. You'd imagine a Sean McDermott guy checks. So if that player exists, I think the Bills would absolutely open their pocketbooks for a player like that. Do I think one at the very top of their game that's going to be in this free agent market exists? I think if you dig deep, you could find a couple guys, but I think no matter what, you're always going to find a couple flaws in some of these free agents, and some of them you're taking bets on. They took a bet on Trent Murphy, and I think so far it hasn't really paid off. I think a lot of, they were betting on the production they got from him as a pass rusher pre-ACL injury, and they invested in that player, and I think they got a player that really isn't living up to the contract that they handed out in free agency. So it's one of those. It's always a balance game, right? Trying to figure out and project a player's current production, age, and sort of take all of that into context and project that out into your system, I think it's witchcraft. Good luck. It's really difficult to do. But I think if, you know, you're Brandon Bean, you're at a position with $90 million plus in flexibility, you can afford this year, and you have ownership that is willing to pay the money to this year, you know, front load a contract, because, you know, you could re-sign Trey White this year and make him the top paid corner in football. Well, that number's not going to hit for another year, another 2 years if his fifth year option hits. So, you know, like that gives you tons of flexibility. You're not paying Trey White for another year on the books. Well, you know, if you want to sign a receiver, you want to sign a big contract, let's say it's a defensive end that fits the, you know, and checks all those boxes I just talked about. Well, why not front load that contract and pay him $40 million in the first year? Because you've got the flexibility to do it, you know? So they've created a ton of flexibility to do it if the right player comes along. They haven't given me any indication of who that player is and if they exist in this free agent period. But I, you know, and maybe we shouldn't be turning our head to a trade either.
Nate Geary, our guest here. Nate, there are some decisions that Brandon Bean's going to have to make as far as retaining his own. And it's a difficult question for, you know, anybody to answer, because who knows what the market will bear. Talking about Jordan Phillips, talking about Shaq Lawson, and talking about Quentin Spain. Of those three, which one would you want the Buffalo Bills to keep the most, Nate?
I like Quentin Spain a lot. I think he's the Mahler type that they need up in the middle. Also, when talking about the offensive line, I would like them to keep a Quentin Spain, and I'd also like them to continue at trying to add. If there's, you know, a top player, you know, if they're in the first or second round and there's a good, legitimate interior offensive lineman, I think that they should sign Quentin Spain to a couple of years extension here. I mean, he's earned it. And not only that, I think he's a legitimate starter at the left guard position. I think he's a good fit. I think he's been a really good replacement for Richie Incognito. Brings the same sort of on-field attitude without all the off-field stuff. And age, quite frankly. I mean, he's still a player that's under 30 years old. So those are the types of players you invest in, I think. He fits the mold. Quentin Spain's that guy for me, for sure. But that doesn't say, for me anyways, that I'm against them continuing to add interior offensive linemen, because you can just never have enough. And if you're a team who does have too many good offensive linemen, there's not many of those. When you do, though, those become great targets and great assets for trade. So continue building the stockpiling the offensive and defensive line. That McDermott and Bean know that. I don't have to tell them. They know all about that.
Nate, we broke the NFL draft seal a little bit later than normally this year. I mean, we normally start talking about draft if the Bills are having an offseason, you know, in December.
December, right?
Yeah, but we actually waited until the proper time, Senior Bowl. I'm curious as to what direction you think the Bills will go with 22 if they stay at 22. Is it the wide receiver that I think most fans covet, or do you think you could see Sean McDermott looking to make a move to bolster up defensive line?
You know, it's a great question. I think it'll be interesting to see how the board plays this year. You know, I think as it does every year, we don't talk about it, and there's going to be one or two quarterbacks that figure out their way to sneak into the first round that are, you know, projected day three picks. That's just how it goes in the league that is desperate for quarterback play. So, you know, is Jordan Love going to go in the top 10? He could, you know, and if that happens, well, then we're talking about really quality players sliding down, and that means teams might be looking to trade up. And I think for the Bills, that could work out really well for them at 22. If a quarterback comes in a position where, you know, the fifth quarterback on the board is sitting around at 22, or the sixth quarterback on the board, God forbid, something like that, where, you know, now desperation level and, you know, a player that maybe where you weren't thinking is a first-round pick becomes a first-round pick, and the Bills are in perfect spot to slot back five or six picks. Still get a great value, and you know, maybe, you know, added in a second round pick this year, where maybe you can leverage that to have two firsts this year, right? Get two end of the first round type guys. So listen, I mean, Brandon Bean's the type to do it. I'm not just talking out of my butt there. I mean, you know, those are moves that this organization and the Brandon Bean will make. He's a wheeler and dealer. He likes trading assets. He likes moving up. This is an organization that has moved back. Obviously the Patrick Mahomes pick, you know, so it'll be interesting to see what they do come draft day. But I like the Chanel kid from Colorado a lot. I think he flashes a ton of potential, and it really fills almost the exact prototype type of guy that they need, the receiver position. I think there's a lot of other options too, along the defensive line, even linebacker, I think, could still be in play. They've got two young guys. Matt Milano's, in store for a payday, but they need that third guy. You know, do they address that in free agency? Do they go to the draft for that? There's going to be some players available in the top 30 in this draft that will be worthy. So it'll be interesting how it plays out. But I would expect that if the trade opportunity comes either up or down, that I think you can guarantee Brandon Beeks not only going to listen, but be aggressive in pursuing it.
Nate, I don't think we've ever talked about the stadium issue, everything surrounding it. Okay, we had the story last week that the county gets the letter from the Bills not opting out. What's next here? And by the way, where do you come down on this? Are you put a stadium downtown? Are you put money into the existing facility? You don't care just as long as the team stays here? Where do you plant your flag on that, Nate?
So if I was a season ticket holder like I was earlier, a few years ago after or during college, the thing that I would say is I wanted a dome or a Maxwell Dome. That was as if I'm in the stadium and I'm a fan and I'm buying concessions. I'd want the retractable dome and I'd like a nice indoor billion-dollar stadium. Having said that, the question becomes where, and that's where you start to lose me. Is I don't think you have a logical downtown site. You've redeveloped Canal Side and where the old Aud used to be into a multi-use. And I think they've done a great job, the Pagoulas have done a great job, redeveloping that area, the Canal Side, Inner Harbor area of the city. They've done a great job there. But that land's now spoken for. That could have been an area for a stadium. You had the transit downtown. That was available there. Now you're talking about the outskirts of town and can you do it in old areas where there's going to be a significant cleanup attached? So it's, there is no easy solution downtown. Orchard Park provides you an area that already has the parking, the infrastructure, the traffic, just everything that you could want. And not only that, I mean, I think what ultimately they want to get away from private parking lots, right? Like, I think they want to be able to control things more. You can do that in theory downtown, but I don't know, again, where you're going to park 75,000 people downtown. I don't know how that's logical. So I think they're stuck in a position where they're going to probably have to put significant money into New Era Field now as into renovations, get it up to snuff, get them in the top, 20 in stadiums. I mean, it's definitely bottom of the barrel in the league, but how much money is attached to that and how much of the public is going to pay for it, I think is a really interesting question.
Nate, I might represent a very small minority of people who view this through the lens of the NFL as big business. The Pagoulas are big business people, and all it will take is one billionaire to make them an offer they can't refuse, and they can just say, all right, well, it was a good run in Buffalo. Let's pull up stakes and go somewhere else. They would become public enemy number one. They would probably have to sell the Sabres and demolish everything that they've done in downtown Buffalo that has their name attached to it. But I think billionaires become billionaires by making smart investments. And if you can flip an NFL franchise, that you bought for over $1 billion and get it for over $5 billion, I think most NFL owners would do that. And plus, you have the words of the Pagoulas themselves saying, hey, we don't have money to talk about a stadium. We spent all of our money buying this team in the first place. Am I crazy in thinking that the sky is falling and that we might live in a region that the NFL has outgrown?
No, I don't think that's a real big concern. And I think, kudos to Mark Poloncarz. I think he played his cards really well for Erie County. And for the stadium, I think, him being sort of the proxy between the Bills and the state, I think has worked really well. I think there's a good relationship there. They listen, we haven't quite seen the results of this quote unquote study that was done. I know most of us are intrigued to see what that entails, what conclusions have the surveyors kind of come up with. And, it'll be interesting to see. I think people here in Buffalo, for a certain extent, for the Buffalo Bills, would be willing to, to chip in as taxpayers of Erie County. The question is what that number is and exactly what are we being met with from the Pagoulas. So, can you get away with a stadium that's, a $750 million, not so Jerry World stadium and feel like you've upgraded significantly? I think absolutely. How much are the Pagoulas putting in that? And if York State and us as taxpayers are footing, you know, a $300,000 or $300 million bill, is that going to be something that we're okay with? So, you know, it'll be interesting how it plays out. The survey is going to go a long way. I'm looking forward to when that actually becomes public.
Yeah, Nate, 3 years. 3 years, we can blink, and it'll be gone.
Oh,
so,
it goes quick.
Yeah,
it
so quick. So right, the next step in this whole thing, it's the Pegula stating their intentions. This is what we want. Does that happen before the start of next season?
I mean, that's what Roger Goodell would like. The question is whether or not that's a timeline they're going to stick by. I think, you know, now that they've got this next 3 years lined up, they've got collateral. I think now is when things are going to start to come public. You know, what are the results of this survey? Where would they like to, if they're going to build a new stadium? What's their potential liability in building a new stadium? How much will they be contributing in private funds? You know, so on and so forth, and how much they're looking for the state to provide. So I don't know that if it was a significant investment from the state that it would immediately be shot down. But I think a lot of people right now, with just the state of, you know, just Sabres and everything that's been going on, and, you know, I think people here might be hesitant in providing a large piece of the public funding. But again, it's the NFL. You mentioned it. It's a cash cow, and yet they continue to rely on public funding to build their sanctuary. So until that process changes, which, you know, there's no end in sight there, it's only getting worse, you know, I think a lot of it's going to come to the burden of the people and the fans, and we'll see if this is a market that's willing to shell it out. I have my doubts, but I also think that there is a scenario that if they could get $250 million into the, or maybe even, you know, $200 million into the current stadium, that they could update it in a way that makes sense and is competitive in the league.
Nate, it's great catching up with you, bud. Let's do it again right around the time that the league year gets underway, right? We'll have free agency next. We can you know, speculate and report on who the Bills are going after.
Would love to, gentlemen. And as I continue diving into draft season, I look forward to prognosticating over the next several weeks.
All right. Well, enjoy your XFL in the meantime as well. Yes. We know you're a big Cardale Jones guy. You'll be following his exploits.
Wicked. That kid's got a wicked arm. We're finally going to get to see it for the first time in, like, what, 7 years or something crazy? And that's going to make me feel old, because that wasn't that long ago. But it's going to feel like a long time. So, I'm looking forward to seeing some of these XFLers. A lot of Buffalo connections there. So looking forward to it.
Nate, appreciate the time. Be well.
You got it. Nate Carey. You can hear him on our radio.com sports sister station, WGR in Buffalo, Saturday mornings. He also your pre and post game host for Buffalo Bills football here on ESPN Rochester.
I want to go back to you. Don't be chicken little, sky is falling. But I think what you're just pointing out there is, hey, 3 years from now, there isn't a deal. There isn't a lease. And if there's no plan in place, the boogeyman might come in. That's all. You're just pointing that out.
Yeah, I think the NFL has a way of doing that. I think the NFL has a way of manufacturing heat. And they will apply that heat and that pressure where they need to apply it in order to get ultimately what they want. And what they want may not be a renovation in New Era Field. What they want may be a palace downtown. Something that, you know, everybody, something that looks good on TV.
What do the other 31 owners want?
That's it.
That's
too.
What they want.
Right.
That's what they want.
That's right.
Yeah. So, like, here's plan A, here's plan B.
I mean, you know, I'm Arthur Blank and I buy a new stadium every 20 years. What makes you think that you can get by being an NFL owner just applying renovations every few years at your stadium that was built when? In the 60s, 70s, when was it built? No. We build stadiums every 20 years in the NFL. That's how we do. Are you on our level or are you not? And that's why I raised the question, and I'm curious, has the NFL outgrown Western New York? When the NFL was merging, absolutely not. We were a different region then. It was a different time then. We had more resources then. And if you went to ask a Western New Yorker, hey, you willing to spend more money on your tax bill to foot for a stadium? I don't know how many people are agreeing to that. So do we become San Diego?
St. Louis? Yeah.
Are we on our way? I mean, so I'm a little bit nervous about it. I'm not trying to be doom and gloom and the sky is falling. But until we hear anything concrete from the Pegulas, anything in the way of the results of their study, I'll accept. A plan?
No, I think we're at the point now where they're not going to give you some conceptual. When we hear about this, it's going to be, this is what we want. And then the backup will be, well, we learned this in the study. So I think we're going to be at that stage. And if I had to make a prediction, 3 years away, you got to get the ball rolling on this now.
No question.
Now you got to start talking about this. I predict this is going to be before the 4th of July that we'll hear something in regards to what the Buffalo Bills want. Whether that's a new home or whether that's fixing up the old place.
I'll put my chip down on owners' meetings. I think something around the owners' meetings. I think the heat gets applied around the owners' meetings. And that's when you have to be prepared. If you're being a futurist.
Let me check the Googles. When is the next NFL owners' meeting?
Yeah, they're coming up here. If you're being a futurist and you know, all right, Goodell made comment about us during the Super Bowl. This is going to come up during the owners' meetings. We need to be prepared. We need to have our plan ready to unleash for the other 31 owners so that they can see we're playing ball. Let's get to NFL appetizers next in the sports bar. We go around the NFL.
March 29th.
Yeah, it's coming up.
Yeah.
Around the NFL, news and notes of the day. NFL appetizers brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com.
All hail the Chiefs. We will talk about Kansas City's big win. They are now the champions. News today from Cleveland. We'll also give you the news from over the weekend. The NFL Hall of Fame inductees, always a lot. And if you missed it from yesterday, there's a report. There is certainly one team that is ready to start bidding on soon-to-be free agent Tom Brady.
All right, we got that and more coming up next. NFL appetizers in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion, we've got you covered. Plus, on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com, the online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The Sports Leader. ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.